Welcome, everyone. You are listening to God is Calling. Hi, my name is Catherine, and I'm delighted to bring you weekly podcasts that meet you wherever you are on your journey of faith. Each inspirational episode is filled with hope and spiritual truth that nourishes the soul. Today's episode, Never Forget. Shortly after September 11, 2001, Governor of New York George Pataki wrote a letter to Secretary of the Navy Gordon England. He requested that the Navy bestow the name New York on a surface warship involved in the global war on terrorism in honor of the victims and first responders of the September 11 attacks. In his letter, the governor said he understood state names were reserved for submarines but asked for special consideration so the name could be given to a surface ship. The request was approved on 28 August 2002. The ship contained 7.5 tons of steel recovered from the remains of the World Trade Center towers within her bow. This symbolic amount of steel represents less than 1/1000th of the total weight of the ship. The steel was melted down at Amite Foundry and Machine in Amite, Louisiana, to cast the ship's bow section. Dottie England, the ship's sponsor and the wife of former Secretary of the Navy Gordon England, is quoted as saying, "I went to the pouring of the steel down at Amite, Louisiana, and not just myself, but everybody connected in that steel mill treated that steel with the utmost dignity, with reverence, usually accorded to religious relics, gently touching it as they walked by. One worker even delayed his retirement after 40 years of working to be part of the project." Dottie concluded her statement by saying, "Those steel workers in Amite felt like they were contributing to the defense of the nation." Well, in a poetically apropos gesture, the USS New York, one of the most state-of-the-art amphibious warships in the Navy's fleet, was delivered to the fleet on August 21st, 2009, at precisely 9:11 a.m. Her motto is, "Strength forged through sacrifice, never forget." God knows what it's like to lose someone you love. He intentionally placed himself in this position by sacrificing his son because he did not want to lose us. That's how great his love is for us, shown through the greatest gift to the world, his only son, Jesus Christ. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Jesus' sacrifice pays the price for our freedom. When John the Baptist was baptizing in the Jordan River, he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." A foundational doctrine of the Christian faith is that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ paid the penalty for the sins of mankind, that without this act of love by the Son of God, humanity would have no hope of life after death. But why was the sacrifice of Jesus Christ necessary? The designation of Lamb of God reflects back to the time when Israel was delivered from ancient Egypt under the direction of Moses. Before the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn, Israelite families were instructed to kill a lamb and brush some of its blood on the top and sides of the door frames of their dwellings. The lamb that was slain for this purpose was called the Passover lamb, and the observance of this ceremony was known as the Passover. During that first Passover in Egypt, God was willing to accept the blood of the Passover lamb on the door frames of the Israelites' dwelling in place of the blood of their firstborn. The firstborn of Israelites who rejected the blood of the lamb would not have been spared from death. The blood of the lamb thus enabled the Israelites to escape the penalty that was coming upon the land of Egypt. Passover was to become an annual observance in Israel, so that they would remember how God delivered them from death. Of course, the experiences of ancient Israel all look forward to even more important spiritual lessons for Christians. Jesus Christ became the Passover lamb for the Christian church. The Apostle Paul taught in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, "For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." As the reality of Christ's sacrifice penetrates our hearts, we lay down our selfish desires. We begin to serve our families, our neighbors, and even strangers on the street in His Spirit's strength. Although mundane, painful, and stressful events threaten to diminish our hope, Jesus renews our hope whenever we seek Him. The world lacks hope. Human beings are clamoring to fill their empty lives with stuff. Abuse, addiction, illness, and broken relationships surround us. People need to know that Jesus came to bring hope, that He is our hope, and that our hope is alive. Jesus' sacrifice pays the price for our freedom. "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many." Even freedom has a price, and Jesus paid that price for the believer. The sacrifice of Jesus frees us from the bondage of sin so we can live a life pleasing to God. Jesus' sacrifice gives us all victory. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, He sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until His enemies should be made a footstool for His feet. For by a single offering He has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. It's easy to mistakenly think that sacrifice means weakness, but Jesus shows this thought is untrue. The enemy thought he won when Jesus died on the cross. He didn't expect Christ to rise again, and he certainly didn't expect the power of the cross to be given to every believer who places their faith in Christ. Christ's sacrifice is power to the Christian. It is a sign of strength and victory that can never be taken away. Strength forged through sacrifice. Never forget. Thanks for listening. I look forward to the next time we come together for God is Calling.